Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 1, as well as Matthew, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1, and verse 29 is where we're going to begin. Let's pray, and then we'll read. Father in heaven, thank you again for the time together to worship. Thank you for wonderful songs that we can sing together and the joy it is to get to come together. And Father, I pray that just for the next little bit, that you would allow us to focus our hearts and minds completely on Christ and your word. I pray that your word would guide us, that your spirit would guide us and teach us, and that you would help us to see you, to know you, to love you, to learn things from the scriptures tonight that will help us just to be faithful. And Lord, we're so thankful for Christ who came to be our Savior. Lord, help us to trust you with all our hearts and just to walk with you day by day, to love you and live for you, for your glory. Lord, we pray that if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that tonight they would be saved, that the saved would follow you in baptism, and that all of us would walk with you faithfully. Lord, just please help. Thank you for your grace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke 1:29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And then if you notice in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, Matthew 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, we read the Christmas stories. We've been reading a lot of scriptures leading up to Christmas time, and it's, isn't it awesome how God just kind of has different things stand out to you at different times? For several years, when I've read through these scriptures at Christmas time, these phrases have stood out to me. Mary cast in her mind, and Joseph thought upon these things. Mary and Joseph were faithful followers of God. I told you the other day, I'm fully convinced that Mary was a saved young woman because she found grace in the eyes of the Lord. She was highly favored. God's grace was on her. That only comes by faith. It's by grace through faith. And so she was a young woman who trusted the Lord. It's evident that Joseph was a godly man. He was a just person. He was thinking about the fact that at this time, Mary had been found with child. And he didn't know that that child was of the Holy Spirit. He didn't know exactly what had happened. He just knew that he wasn't going to be able to carry through with the betrothal, with the espousal with Mary. So he was going to privately put her away. He wasn't going to make it a public spectacle. He could have had her stoned under the law. But he was going to put her away privately. He was a just man. She was a favored young woman, a virgin young woman. And so, but just notice those phrases cast in her mind, and he thought on these things. These things stand out to me, and I kept thinking about the idea of meditation, which, of course, when you talk about meditation today, like so many things, it seems to be something that Satan has hijacked in the world today. Because most of you, if I say you need to meditate, you get a picture in your mind of somebody sitting cross-legged, doing this with their fingers, I don't know what that's all about, and going, oh, anybody get that in your head? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what Dalai Lama does, right? That's how you say it, isn't it? I don't know. That's kind of a new agey type thing. That's yoga and meditation and all those kinds of things go together, and new ageism and Hinduism and Taoism, and so many things are focused on meditation. And so I think, like so many things, Satan's always been the master of the counterfeit. Amen. Everything that's good and true, he counterfeits it to turn it into something that's not good. And I feel like he's hijacked meditation, because the Bible tells us that we ought to meditate on things. And I think it's very evident in our lives today, especially here in the United States of America in 2023, that people have a hard time thinking about anything. Amen. How many of you know what the phrase doom scrolling means? You ever heard the phrase doom scrolling? Okay, all right, how about this? How many of you have a social media account on your phone right now? Could you just raise your hand? Don't be ashamed. Confession is good for the soul. You have social media on your phone right now? Okay, doom scrolling is what social media is designed to do. Some of these young people, and maybe some of you not so young people, have TikTok accounts, and you scroll mindlessly through Twitter, or excuse me, X, formerly known as Twitter. Scroll mindlessly, endlessly. Instagram, you scroll mindlessly, endlessly. Facebook, you scroll mindlessly, endlessly. The doom scroll is this. There's no end to it. Okay? All right? How many of you ever read a book? Just raise your hand if you ever read a book. All right? What does every book have? It has an ending. How many of you are cheaters and you read the ending before you got to the end? Oh, my goodness. Repent. How do you do that? Shame on you. I'm just kidding. There's no law against that. It just always seemed wrong. I always felt guilty. I couldn't do it. I had to stick it out. Every book has an ending. But in our society today, we have media, social media. We have different forms of media, and it has no end. It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's new updates every day. And here's the reality. Most of you who have social media on your phone, if you don't have that, then you have games. How many of you guys have games on your phone? I'm going to get all of you here in a minute, one way or another. I'm just telling you that I know most of you who have smartphones. Smartphones are designed for one thing, to make people stupid. Smartphones have made dumb people. So when you stop, when you do anything, you pull this thing out. And I see it all the time. I mean, literally, I see it all the time. If somebody stops doing anything, they pull their phone out. Guys at the job, they're working. As soon as they stop doing a task, they pull their phone out. They're looking at their phone. People who are walking through Walmart are looking at their phone. People who are driving down the highway are looking at their phone. My kids are like, Dad, you shouldn't text and drive. I'm not. I'm checking my email. The point is this. I believe that while a lot of these things are not inherently evil in and of themselves, they can become evil because Amen. They keep us from doing better things. Amen. Is that fair enough? Amen. Okay. We have lost the art of Christian contemplation. Amen. In our society today. We've lost the art of thinking on the things of God. And some of you might be sitting there going, yeah, well, if Joseph and Mary had had TikTok, they'd have been watching videos too. And that may or may not be true. I got an idea that they probably wouldn't have anything to do with a lot of the things that you and I consume on a daily basis. Amen. They would have been disgusted and appalled Amen. By the things that we become desensitized to. Amen. I just want to tell you tonight that we ought to take time to contemplate things concerning Christ. Amen. You ready? Make time to contemplate the things concerning Christ. Now, why do I say make time? Because it's not going to happen unless you make time. Amen. Something else is going to fill that void. Now, I realize that all of us are at different stages in life, and some of you sitting here tonight are retired now, and you have more time than ever before. A lot of guys I know who are retired are busier now than they were when they were working. And everybody's in a different place. But let me just say this. We will fill our time with something. Amen. But we need to make time for the best things. Amen. And I don't know. I think there's something in our American mentality that says if I'm not doing something, that I'm wasting time. But can I tell you that if you are sitting still and in a prayerful, meditative state, contemplating the things of Christ, if you're sitting still doing nothing but thinking about Jesus, that is not a waste of time.
Amen.
He's worth thinking about.
Amen.
The reality is most of us in our Christian life, some of you don't read your Bible every day, and you really need to do that. Some of you read your Bible every day, but it's just a religious activity. You're just checking a box off a list. You're not thinking about what you're reading. You're just reading it to say, ah, good, I did my religious duty today. I read my Bible. Check. I can go on about something else. And I'm telling you that what we need to do is make time to contemplate the things of God, where you will pray and you will read Scripture and you will think about the things that you read. Make time to contemplate the things concerning Christ. Number two, we ought to turn our worries into prayers.
Amen.
Check this out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. When? And again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Those things which ye have learned, both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you.
Amen.
We need to give our mind material to meditate on. Okay. All right, so let's do a little survey real quick. We've done a few of those already. Let's do one more. How many of you have moments in your life when your mind is just completely blank? You're not thinking of anything. Anybody ever have those moments? I have those usually when I'm preaching. I know I've told you guys before, several years ago at church camp, I had the privilege of preaching there. I think we had about 400 campers. Most people I've ever preached to before, and I'm in the middle of my sermon, and you know, I'm preaching my heart out, and I'm trying to make this really good illustrative point, and I'd walked away from the podium, and I'm standing over there in the middle of a sentence, I just went blank. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but if you'd have walked up to me in that moment and slapped me in the face and said, "What's your name?" I no idea what my name is. You ever try to go into your mind, like go into your mind and find something? I went into my mind and it was nothing but darkness. It was an abyss. There was nothing there. And for what seemed an eternity, I just stood there with nothing. Couldn't think of anything at all. There was nothing in my mind at all. And I would go, yeah, I got nothing. So I walked back over to my notes and read a verse and remembered where I was at, and it all came back. So sometimes we have that, where there's nothing. How many of you also have times when your mind won't shut up? Some of you guys are like, mine never shuts up, like brain always on. You know, when it's late at night and you need to go to bed and you know you got to get up early, and your mind keeps talking to you?
Amen. Amen.
About just total nonsense. Like, you're thinking about everything, what you got to do tomorrow and what you did 6 months ago. And what did that guy's shirt say? You know what I mean? Okay, you guys are with me. So we have those moments. And here's the thing. All the stuff that we're exposed to in this world, all the conversations, all the ads that we see, all the shows that we watch, all the books that we read, all the mindless scrolling that we do, all that information is going somewhere. And it's going to be in there rattling around in our brains. And I'm telling you that what we need to do is put good material in there to meditate on. I need something that when there's nothing there, when it's blank, that I can bring something good to my mind about Christ. And I also need something when it's just chaos and a jumbled mess in my mind that makes no sense, that I can quiet that down by focusing on a truth about Jesus. Amen. Give your mind material to meditate on. So how about this? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So if I'm going to put good material in my mind, I can think about things worth praising God for. I can think about what I'm thankful for. I can think about what I'm rejoicing in, the joy of God. I can rejoice in the Lord. When?
Always.
And again, I don't know why it's not plural. I don't know why there's no S there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. And then display moderation to everyone. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That means to display moderation, or you might say appropriateness or patience. What does it mean? It means that I need to, if my mind's going to be right, I need to be living right in front of others.
Amen.
If my mind's going to be right, I need to have a good testimony in the world. Isn't that true?
Amen.
I can prove it to you. All right. How many of you have ever said something really stupid to other people and you regret it later? Or you did something real dumb. Put your hand up. No.
Amen.
You didn't, have you ever maybe gotten angry through a fit?
Amen.
Publicly?
Amen.
Embarrassed yourself and your family?
Amen.
All right, just checking. I'm just saying that sometimes we don't act right. And it's hard for your mind to be right when you're not acting right in front of other people. Why? Because when you put your head on your pillow at night, one of those things that's going to be jumbled up in your brain and all that mess is going to be that embarrassing thing that you said or did on replay. It's just stuck on repeat. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I can't believe I said that. Oh, I can't believe I did that. You guys ever have that happen? Man, I got repeats of embarrassing, stupid stuff that I said or did from years ago that it just comes right back up. So I need to display moderation. What is that? Appropriateness. I need to see, let men see me living a right kind of life. All right, verse 6. Pray instead of worrying.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing. You might say be anxious for nothing. Don't let anxiety overwhelm you. Don't
Amen.
Let worrying overwhelm you.
Amen.
All of us have things to worry about. And some of you are very spiritual. And you say, well, I don't worry about anything. I just have concerns. I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. Mm-hmm. Isn't it good how we can change words and make ourselves feel better? We have a lot of things that we're concerned about. If we're honest, we have a lot of things we're worried about. And when you're worried, don't be overcome with that worry, but pray about it.
Amen.
Don't worry. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
And can I just remind you, one of my favorite truths that we're reminded of over and over again at Christmas time is God is sovereign over everything.
Amen.
That even when you think everything is a train wreck and everything's falling apart and the whole world's gone crazy and the whole world's filled with darkness and there is no hope, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And so, yeah, you can worry or you could pray and give thanks to God and say, God, I need your help.
Amen.
You can rest your mind on giving thanks to him and knowing that he is able to take care of everything. Pray instead of worry. How about this? Verse 7, stay in peace.
Amen.
The peace of God that does what? Passes all understanding. Isn't that great?
Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why do I say stay in peace? Because when you get the peace of God, it's beyond comprehension, and his peace will keep what? Your heart and your mind.
Amen.
So the place of all this anxiety and worry and stress and fear and doubt, he keeps that. He holds it in. He guards it. He protects it because his peace that's beyond understanding is taking care of you. So stay in his peace. And we know about that peace that passes understanding, don't we? I've seen God give people peace and calm that defies explanation. It's humanly unreasonable for them to have peace. But I've seen God do it over and over again. So stay in peace. Verse 8, think on right things.
Amen.
Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just or right, things that are pure, not defiled, things that are lovely, not ugly, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. Think on these things. Now let's be real honest. You guys still with me? Just look right here. Look right here. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. How many of those things, those words, describe what you see on social media? Like, seriously, how much of what you're watching on TikTok are true or praiseworthy or lovely? How much of the things that you see on Instagram or any of those things or Facebook or anything else that we're consuming all the time? And Freddie said, well, I'm not really thinking about it. I'm just scrolling. Hello? He didn't say, don't think. Did he? No, he said, think on good things.
Amen.
Okay. Now, some of you are getting upset, and that's okay, because that's just a byproduct of preaching the truth. But I'm telling you that we have lost the art of Christian contemplation.
Amen.
And we need to get it back.
Amen. Amen.
And to do that, I'm going to have to put off some things in order to make room to put on some things. And if you got to give up a social media account to have the mind that God wants you to have, great.
Amen.
Is it really that big a deal? Think on good things. Think on right things. And here's a great truth for you. Look up verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thinking leads to doing.
Amen.
Thinking leads to doing. Now, most of you in this room who've been saved for more than 5 minutes know that that's true because you've experienced spiritual warfare in your own life.
Amen.
And you have done things that you later regretted doing. But if you would go back and examine the timeline of what happened, you would remember that you did something that you regret doing because you thought about it before you ever did it. But he's still with me?
Amen.
What I'm saying is, you think about stuff. Things that you know you shouldn't do. And you let it take root here. Yeah, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed.
Right.
You're enticed right
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
But when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death.
Right.
And so, like so many times, the great little songs we sang as kids ring so profoundly true.
Amen.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Amen.
Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right?
Amen.
Because what does that lead to? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Thinking leads to doing.
Amen.
Man, that's so true in so much of life.
Amen.
You know how many men spend their weekends doing things because their wife thought about something she saw on Pinterest? I can't imagine how much HDTV has cost families in America over the last 10 years. Why? Because you saw it and you thought about it, you wanted it, so you went and spent the money to do it. You see, there's a biblical principle that the companies make billions of dollars off of. Right? You know why marketing is one of the most important parts of business in the whole world? It's because they understand this principle. That thinking leads to doing. Right thinking brings right actions.
Amen.
Zig Ziglar used to talk about stinking thinking. Stinking thinking brings stinking actions.
Amen.
So we want to have right thinking. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, praiseworthy, where can I find those things? It's not complicated, is it? Pray. Search the scriptures.
Amen.
See Jesus. Think about Jesus.
Amen.
Meditate on him.
Amen.
Think about him over and over and over again. And see if that changes.